You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
So we're going to share just some geopolitical things that are taking place in the Middle East. And again, we're not just looking at geopolitical because we want to know more about the news. But a lot of these things, I think, have direct bearing on the last days. You know, I look at the Middle East as a chessboard, and the pieces on the chessboard are continually being moved. And I think they are being moved into a position where we are very close, where the board is set in a very, very close way to what the Bible describes as the events of the last days, or putting in position those things that can bring about the last days. And so it's important that God's people are aware of these things and have a good sense of how things are moving. So I'm just going to jump around the Middle East here just a little bit. First of all, we know that in this section right here, this is the area of Gaza in Israel. Obviously, on October 7th, we know there was a massive incursion, a massacre that took place from Hamas terrorists that came into Israel. And one of the things that I think is not only fascinating, but very significant that has not been widely reported. I know a few of you are aware of it, but many within America and specifically within the Christian community are not aware that the lead or head of Hamas's military wing, after the October 7th attack, has come out and said that one of the reasons for the Hamas incursion into Israel and massacre was because Hamas was aware that Israel had just imported heifers from the United States. That they had just come in, and you say, heifers, what's the significance about that? Well, the concept of the red heifers and the pure bloodline that fits the description of the red heifers in terms of the reinstitution of the temple sacrifices. So Hamas is aware of Israel bringing in heifers into Israel. And the head of Hamas has said that is one of the reasons. Now, why is that significant? Because their eyes are on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Just as believers who were informed, who understand where all this is moving, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is the most important piece of real estate on planet Earth. Everything is moving in that direction. It's moving towards the Middle East. It's moving towards Israel. It's moving towards Jerusalem. And within Jerusalem, it's moving towards the Temple Mount. The key issue is who is going to control the Temple Mount. Why is that so important? When I say the Temple Mount, that is the rectangular plateau upon which today you see the Golden Dome of the Rock that's famous when you see all the pictures of Jerusalem. And also you see the gray domed structure, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, that sits atop that rectangular structure. When we talk about that rectangular Temple Mount, that was the area that Herod the Great reinforced the mountain on Mount Moriah when Herod the Great wanted to enhance and enlarge the temple structure of the Jews when he was ruling in Jerusalem. He put a retaining wall, a massive retaining wall around the mountain, and then backfilled it and made it larger to make a rectangular plateau. And later, much later, came the Dome of the Rock, right? That came the Islamic structure and the Al-Aqsa Mosque that sits atop there. So the question is, who is going to control that Temple Mount, that rectangular area, because it was the location on earth for the physical presence of God in his house. It was the house of God. And so obviously, if Satan has a strategy to rule the world, to have his man, the Antichrist, the progeny of Satan, to usurp what rightfully belongs to God's son, Jesus Christ, then the object of their focus will be the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And that is why everything is moving there. In terms of peace talks and things that will be coming in the future and land and all those things are important, but they're all peripheral. The real issue and the sticking point and the most difficult issue to solve within the Middle East and that America is involved in and Western European nations are involved in, Middle Eastern nations, the sticking point is going to be who controls the Temple Mount. Because that is, at its core, that is a spiritual conflict between God and Satan. Whose man is going to rule the world? Because it's going to be from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So everything is moving in that direction. So when we go back to Hamas, and we say, okay, why did Hamas invade? Obviously, they have other reasons and rationale. They want to just wreak havoc in the region. They want to kill as many Jews as possible. But all of this is part of a much bigger satanic strategy to push the Jews out of their land and to annihilate the Jews. And that's what we're hearing. And when we, Lord willing, in a few minutes talk about Iran, that's their goal as well. So all of it is moving towards that Temple Mount. And so when Hamas says, the leader of the military wing of Hamas says, we know that Israel was importing these red heifers, which are important in terms of the reinstitution of the animal sacrificial system and the temple on Jerusalem. Hamas says, no. We have our Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock that sits on the Temple Mount. That's important to all of us, and that's a rallying call to the rest of the Arab world. When Hamas named their invasion into Israel, they didn't call it the Sderot Initiative, which is a small town in Israel where they went across the border and murdered and pillaged. Or they didn't call it the Southern Israel Incursion Plan. They called it the Al-Aqsa Flood. Al-Aqsa, once again, is the Islamic mosque that sits on top of the Temple Mount rectangular retaining wall plaza next to the Golden Dome of the Rock. That is their mosque. So when they say it's the Al-Aqsa Flood, what they're saying is, this is where our head is. We want Jerusalem. We're not interested in all of the rest of Israel. That's just side stuff. What we really want, what our real objective is controlling Jerusalem and retaking it, pushing the Jews out, and creating an Islamic caliphate centered in Jerusalem. So their focus is that mosque that sits on top of that Temple Mount in Jerusalem. That's why they called their incursion the Al-Aqsa Flood. And when they say flood, what do they mean? They don't mean water. Flood of people. And what they're saying is it's a rallying call to the other Islamic nations of the world to say, are you with us? Because we want to charge Jerusalem, take back what we think is ours, and recapture it and push the Jews out. Are you with us, Islamic Muslims from the rest of the Arab world? So when they say Al-Aqsa Flood, that's what they have in mind. Okay? So it's important that you understand in terms of what's taking place in Gaza. It's not an isolated thing just because, well, it's in a remote part of Israel, and obviously it was terrible. But that's really all they have in mind. No. They have much more in mind, and their eye is on Jerusalem. You want to talk about an eye on Jerusalem? The president of Turkey. You should understand that the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is a very bad man. He's involved in all kinds of nefarious things. He has made his country available to become the headquarters of a lot of Islamic terror organizations. He plays nice with the West when he needs things. He plays nice even with Israel when he needs things. But the reality is that he is not a fan of Israel at all. He has ambitions, the president of Turkey, he has ambitions to retake the entire Middle East. And you know why he has those ambitions? Because the Ottoman Turkish Empire ruled much of the Middle East from 1517 to 1917, to the end of the First World War. They ruled the Middle East, the Ottomans, and they think they did it best. They think their Islamic caliphate, where they controlled much of the Middle East, including Israel, Jerusalem, and all the way down to the holy cities within Islam of Mecca and Medina, the Ottomans controlled it. They think they ruled it best, and they want to reestablish the greatness of the Ottoman Turkish Empire. in a caliphate. When I say a caliphate, that's a group of Islamic nations that will unite and have in the past, and they're looking to do that again, that these Islamic nations will unite under Islamic law, which means politically and religiously, everything of your life is under the auspices of Islamic Sharia law. So they want to reestablish that and bring back the former greatness of their Ottoman Empire. And the president of Turkey, he sees himself as the ruler of all of it, the sultan or the khalifa of an Islamic caliphate of nations. So what does he do when Israel is having issues and problems and challenges with the Palestinians? He champions the cause of the Palestinians against Israel because he sees the Palestinians as a nice little bargaining chip to give Israel a black eye. And he doesn't care about the Palestinian people. What he cares about is that he can use the issue of the Palestinians with Israel to ingratiate himself or to make himself look like he's a spokesperson or he has the concerns of the poor Palestinian people in view as he polishes his image within the rest of the Muslim world. So what happened is, first of all, he's spending a lot of money into the West Bank, into Palestinian areas of Israel. So in many instances, when you're in Israel and you're in the West Bank, which is not a bank where you deposit money, it is the Western land area west of the Jordan River. The Western Bank of the Jordan River comes all the way up to the area of Jerusalem and includes what you'd say part of East Jerusalem. So you have a lot of Palestinians who live in that West Bank area, that land area. Many times you'll see Turkish flags flying in the area of the West Bank. What's the reason? Because Turkey is sending money to the Palestinians to buy their favor so that Turkey has more influence in terms of what is going on in Israel and in Jerusalem. So very important and very significant in terms of what Turkey is doing. As a matter of fact, the president of Turkey, in response to what Israel is dealing with the Palestinians right now, he said, Israel better watch it, because when they're not paying attention, we just may come in the middle of the night. I mean, this is the wording coming from the president of Turkey. Very, very significant. In addition, there are natural gas fields, natural gas deposits that Israel has discovered off of its coast in the Mediterranean. A lot of wealth is buried under the sea in these natural gas deposits, many of them that Israel has discovered. Egypt has also discovered some. And Turkey, which sees itself as a conduit for energy in the Middle East, with many, many pipelines coming from Azerbaijan, from Iran, and other areas through Turkey over to Europe. So if you saw a map of all of the pipelines running through Turkey, Turkey sees itself as a controller of energy from the Middle East to Europe. So they see themselves as very important along that route. Do you think Turkey is very happy about the idea that Israel and Egypt and Cyprus have discovered a lot of natural gas energy in the Mediterranean, and Turkey doesn't control any of it? It's not in their international waters. So the president of Turkey is very upset about the idea that Israel, Cyprus, and Egypt are looking to pipe their natural gas. They liquefy it in plants in Egypt, and then they ship it off to Europe, bypassing Turkey completely, which is pushing the president of Turkey to raise all kinds of issues that he's very unhappy. And there was talk about an undersea pipeline running from Israel's natural gas deposits to Cyprus, over to Crete, Greece, Italy, and to Europe. And he said, nothing doing. I'm not letting a pipeline come through this area of the Mediterranean Sea. And he is claiming larger territories within the Mediterranean that do not officially and internationally belong to Turkey, but he is claiming control over them. He's also sending ships from Turkey to harass the tankers that are exploring for natural gas in the Mediterranean as well. Now, I raise all that because of this issue. The Bible says that there's going to be an invasion coming from the north. And in Ezekiel 38, and we may touch on this in the next day or two, in Ezekiel 38, it says that invasion comes from the north and will invade Egypt and will have control over Sudan, Ethiopia, and Libya. That individual will come from the north, the Antichrist. Do you think, and it says that down here, Saudi Arabia, says Sheba and Dedan in Ezekiel 38, are you coming, saying to the invader from the north, are you coming to take a spoil and to take a prey? And if you read the context of Ezekiel 38, this invasion is coming down to take a spoil and to take a prey. So the fact that there is a lot of natural gas and there is a lot of wealth that's going to be pouring into, and is pouring into Israel, into Egypt, do you think that would be a pretext for an invasion from the north, from Turkey, who sees itself as an energy conduit in the Middle East to control energy going to Europe? Do you think that would be a pretext for an invasion? Absolutely. So when you read these texts in the Bible and you see the movement of these nations and events that are taking place, they're not happening in isolation. They're connected to geopolitical events, real things that are taking place in our world today. So that's Turkey. That's the Middle East. Obviously, when you get down here to the area of Gaza, the southern tip of Gaza borders the Sinai Peninsula, which is controlled by Egypt. And so now there's a lot of tension there as to, well, where are these Palestinians going to go from Gaza as Israel is moving in and painstakingly going house by house, apartment block by apartment block, looking at the tunnels, making sure no one pops up, tourists don't pop up behind them as they're moving through. But the population of Gaza is having to move further to the south near the border with Egypt. And Egypt does not want to let the Palestinians come into their territory. First of all, Egypt has big economic challenges right now and economic problems. Yes, they have some natural gas, but they have a lot of big problems. And Egypt doesn't want more Palestinians coming in. And they certainly don't want Hamas embedded with the Palestinians coming into their territory. So that's become very, very problematic for Egypt. And it's becoming a real issue. It is a real issue as to what to do with the Palestinian people who are living in Gaza. Very difficult to figure all of that out and how that's all going to play out. Enter into the scene, enter in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Saudi Arabia, I believe, wants to sign the Abraham Accords. Are you familiar with the Abraham Accords? Raise your hand if you are. Okay. During President Trump's administration, you had the signing of normalization between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, also Bahrain, which is a small island over there as well, and a couple countries in North Africa, signed on the dotted line to normalize relations between each other. And there are many who believe that part of the reason that Iran may have triggered the whole massacre with Hamas coming into Gaza is that Iran does not want to see a normalization of ties between Saudi Arabia and Israel. Because Iran is the nemesis of Israel, but also Iran is the enemy of Saudi Arabia. Why? Because they are two opposing views of Islam. Saudi Arabia is Sunni Islam. Iran is Shia Islam. Very divergent in terms of their views of Islam itself. So Iran doesn't like Israel, but Iran doesn't like Saudi Arabia either. So Saudi Arabia is very concerned that Iran is developing nuclear weapons, just as Israel is concerned that Iran is developing nuclear weapons. And Iran has said, we will use them. So they are getting very close to having nuclear bombs. And they have been working on this for many years. And Israel has said, world, pay attention. Iran will be able to blackmail the world if it obtains nuclear weapons. And Saudi Arabia is very concerned, just as Israel is. So Saudi Arabia and Israel share common concerns about common enemies. And the one enemy that is on the table that everybody knows about that they share is Iran. But they also have another enemy, and behind the scenes, they both know it, even though they may not say it vocally, and that is Turkey. Both Iran and Turkey are interested in reestablishing the greatness of their former empires. Iran as, historically, Persia, right? Turks as the Ottoman Turks. Both have an interest in establishing an Islamic caliphate in the Middle East. Both see Israel and Saudi Arabia as standing in the way. So there is a concern among Israel and Saudi Arabia for those two parties, Iran and Turkey. So it makes sense for Israel and Saudi Arabia to unite, to normalize relations. What will that do? That will allow them to work openly militarily. It will allow them to work openly economically, tourism. So one of the reasons that's what's so fascinating is it's very possible, and I have been there, some of you I think have been with us, to the area of Neom, in this area of northwestern Saudi Arabia. In this location, it is quite possible that that is the actual site of Mount Sinai, not at the tip of the Sinai Peninsula. People disagree, scholars debate, but I think from what I have seen, the evidence is very strong that Mount Sinai is actually in northwestern Saudi Arabia. If that's the case, can you imagine how many Jewish people would be fascinated and thrilled at the opportunity to have the freedom to travel to see the original Mount Sinai and see the evidence that I have seen that is there in that location? Tourism would go through the roof between Israel and Saudi Arabia. Do you think Saudis, where they have the two most holy cities in all of Islam, Mecca and Medina, do you think they would have an interest in going to the third most holy city within Islam, which is Jerusalem? Absolutely they would. So tourism, economics, military, there are so many reasons, and I'll give you one more and we must close here. Just before October 7th and the massacre, there was a big announcement that was made and almost nobody talked about it. And that is, there was a trade route that was announced between India, from India through the Persian Gulf to the United Arab Emirates in Dubai, through Saudi Arabia, through Jordan, to Israel, and from Israel to Europe. Now, this is a huge development, because if that trade route develops the way it was announced, it will be a huge economic boom to all of the nations in that corridor. And it will be a direct competitor to China's Belt and Road Initiative and overland and sea routes running from China through Iran to Turkey to Europe. A direct economic competitor worth hundreds of billions of dollars. So Saudi Arabia has every reason to want to sign on the dotted line with Israel. And I would suggest to you that Saudi Arabia is even more interested in signing the accord than Israel is having Saudi Arabia sign the accord. Because of the security, because of the economics, because of tourism, and because they share common enemies. So that just gives you a little bit of an overview of some of the things that are taking place in the Middle East. All of it, I think, is moving us. If Saudi Arabia and Israel sign a normalization agreement, other nations in this region will also, I believe, sign on as well. But the two nations for sure, at least in the initial context, that I do not think will sign is Turkey and Iran. Why? First of all, they share a common enemy in Israel and Saudi Arabia. But listen to the name of the accord, the Abraham Accord. The name Abraham appeals to two groups of people, Jews, Father Abraham, and the Arabs. Abraham is their common forefather, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob for the Jews, Abraham, Ishmael for the Arabs. So both of them get that warm, fuzzy feeling when they think about the Abraham Accords. After all, we're half brothers. All these years, why don't we work together and get along? But you know who's not part of that warm, fuzzy feeling? Father Abraham, the Iranians, and the Turks. No interest in that whatsoever. So important to hear why things are named the way they are and what the geopolitical ramifications are of some of those things.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.